Wonderful songs we were led in here. The lesson for this evening, I've decided to title The Meaning of Light. Now watch that closely. I said the meaning of light, L-I-G-H-T, not life, L-I-F-E. The meaning of light. We're going to look here at what the Bible has to say about light and the spiritual truths that can be learned. We are familiar with the beautiful song written by Eliza Hewitt called Stepping in the Light. The refrain goes, "How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light." And the Bible has much to say about the light of truth and walking in that light and the meaning of light. So we're going to here explore all that the Bible reveals about this subject. I recognize it's somewhat of a different topic. As a little baby will enter into this world here, we are certainly aware of how that little one will have a lot of squinting of the eyes going on. And that is simple to understand. Here, this little one is experiencing light for the very first time. He or she is exposed to light, and so its brightness tends to cause the eyes to squint. Most of us are accustomed to just accepting that light is there. But I think it might be of great interest to ask, where exactly did it come from? Now, we know that the evolutionist, the scientist of a secular nature, the atheist, will want to say that light came from the Big Bang. But there's nothing scientific about that, because something does not come from nothing. Rather, it is God who has given us light, and we read about that in Genesis chapter 1. So the very first point for the hour is quite straightforward. God created light. God created light. It derives from Him. He is the source. Even before the creation of man walking on this globe, an insect on the ground, a bird in the air, or a plant sprouting up, there was light. It tells us here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters," ready and active to be involved with the creating process. "Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, we have here the creation of light. It does not come about 13.77 billion years ago, as those who are Big Bang theorists would want to believe and teach, but it's on the order of about 6,000 years. And what can be hard for us to envision is, how exactly could there be light without the sun or without the stars there in the night sky? How do you have light? You see, because those luminous bodies were created on the fourth day, not the first day. Well, what we have to understand is that here in this creation week, God is directly acting. And when God directly acts, that, by definition, is a miracle. We're talking about that which is supernatural. It's not restricted to natural law. We do grant that the light here would have been nebulous on the first day. It had not yet coalesced or sunk into the hot centers that we know as stars. But it was a miracle. And as a parallel, it might in fact be helpful to think about the plagues that were brought upon the land of Egypt. There with that ninth plague, where you had darkness over the face of the land of Egypt. That darkness was said to be so extensive that people could not rise up from their dwellings. I think of pitch black darkness, such as would be found in the deep recesses of a cave. It was so dark that the Bible tells you that it could be felt. I don't quite know exactly what that would feel like. But while that was so, there in the land of Egypt, what do we know about the land of Goshen? In the land of Goshen, there was light. And it's not as though the land of Goshen happened to be on the other side of the globe. They were right by each other. But God controlled and regulated light. Do you see that? I trust that you do. That's what happens when God will intervene. Now, light was created by God. He regulates it. It obeys His every wish, word, and will. For He is the Father of lights. And without Him, there would not be a single star in outer space, because He spoke all of that into existence. But this will take us here to the second point on the meaning of light. Number two, God uses light to show us evidence. Now, that might seem pretty straightforward, but look, in order for us to truly appreciate light, God had to first create man with the ability to do what? With the ability to perceive light and sense light and process light. Now, there's an observation I'd like to go ahead and make with you, if I might, as we ponder what the wise man tells us in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to be reading here from Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and in verse 13. And look at the phrasing here very carefully. On the surface, it might seem somewhat strange that this proverb is phrased this way, but we'll talk about the significance of it. Proverbs chapter 29, here in verse 13. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. What do both here have in common? The one with hardly a penny to his name, and the other who happens to be as a taskmaster over him. The Lord gives light. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Now, that might be somewhat curious. Isn't that just stating the obvious? But why not say that they all have a nose in common? They all have ears in common. They all have a mouth in common. Well, when you think about eyesight, you can see how it is that this is the primary way and method whereby we are enabled to evaluate the evidence of creation. Let that sink in. You see, the one who is a believer, and indeed the one who is an unbeliever, we can all look out of these peepers and ponder this globe upon which we reside. The righteous and the unrighteous. We can see here the wonders of creation. Now, God does this here, I believe, because He cares. And He does not want the deck stacked against any one group of people, as though God is withholding evidence from individuals. We are all in the same boat. Do you catch what I'm saying? We all see the same flowers. We see the same bees. We look at the same hills. We see the same trees. Christians can evaluate that and ponder the greatness of God. But the atheist or the evolutionist will look at that very same evidence and try to deny the existence of God. But God gives them a chance still with their eyes and the eyesight that He has blessed them with. I'm also mindful of what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that He, the Father, makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and unjust. God gives both the sinner and saint eyesight, for He is good to all men, even with respect to those who hate Him. You see, because He wants there to be no excuses come the judgment day. All of this points to the power of a creator. Now, point number three. Light in this world is just for a time. It's just for a time. Many may close their eyes in death with their sight still strong. But what about other people? They might be nigh to going blind altogether. They will see silhouettes. They will have blurry images there. They may have to ask, who exactly is out there? Just like Isaac did. He thought that he had Esau coming to him, but who was it? It was actually Jacob. Go over in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. And turn with me to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. Light in this world is just but for a time for you and for me. In Ecclesiastes 11, here the wise man speaks. Verse 7. 11:7. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Now, he's going to talk here about the aging process, particularly as you get there to the 12th chapter. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not what? Are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. What's he talking about here? He's talking about how it is that our sight shall fade just by nature of our age. And he goes on to use other descriptions, talking about the decaying frame. He also says it like this there in verse 3, that those that look through the windows grow dim. Our eyes are pictured as windows there. And so he says there in verse 7 that ultimately this is the fate of men should the Lord tarry. The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So what does that mean? I like how it's put there in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Are we ready for the judgment day? Let's make use of the light that we have here right now. Even Jesus Christ, here during His ministry, He said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is called day. For the night comes in which what? In which no one can work. That's John chapter 9, verse 4. Now, in using an example like that, he is making a play on what we would be familiar with. He's appealing to our experiences with the 12 hours of daylight, and that's followed then by 12 hours of night. But he happens to be extending that further. It's not so much here that he's talking just about a 24-hour period, but he's looking here at the opportunities that we have here in this life to obey God, to serve Him, to serve God's people, to teach our fellow men who are here in this world the truth of the gospel. Ring it out. Ring out that message. You see, because those opportunities shall not last forever, but they shall expire. And then we're going to answer to the Almighty for how it is that we have used our days here in life below. We are decaying. Our health shall fail. The night came for Jesus when He was 33. When will the night come for you and for me? We don't quite know. But we sing that song, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go. We can relate to all of that. We're not as limber as we used to be. As we age, we'll experience more soreness. It's all a painful reminder that we are marching inexorably toward the grave. But God gave us light here so that we might see it and that we might understand it shall not last forever as well. This here takes us to the fourth point. God gave us this physical reality of light to illustrate spiritual truth. God uses light to illustrate spiritual truth. Please turn over to John chapter 1. We had read Genesis chapter 1, but here in John chapter 1, you have a passage that almost works like a mirror. You see unmistakable similarities. In John chapter 1, though, we're going to have some additional information or revelation that is given. We're going to see how Jesus Christ was very much involved in the creation process. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what? The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Wow. What a cornerstone passage right there. Now, the darkness did not comprehend the light, in that the two could not mix, just like oil and water will not mix. But we typically use the word comprehend in the sense of to understand. And perhaps there's a better way to look at this. Over there in the marginal reading, you'll have the word overcome. All right? The point was that the two could not coexist and occupy the same place at the same time. And so the darkness would not be swallowing up the light, but rather the light was going to scatter away the dark. Light will triumph and prevail over dark. And this is the point here, ultimately, that the writer, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John, the writer here, is making. He's talking here about how God has used a physical truth, physical light, to teach a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality. That just as light illuminates, just as light informs us and shows us where it is that we can walk or cannot walk, so too with Jesus Christ, He directs us. He shows us the path that our feet are supposed to be trotting upon. That's powerful. A spiritual truth. Go over to the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, this will take us here to our last and final point. That we are to reflect the light of Christ. We are to reflect His light. Jesus said to them, John 12, verse 35, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." While you have the light, verse 36, this is key, this is central to the point we're trying to make. While you have the light, do what? Don't just sit idly by. Don't just be a bystander in all of this and say, "Oh, that's pretty interesting that we have that. What a spectacular sight to behold." He says, you believe in the light. Why? That you may become sons of light. We have that expression, like father, like son. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. We can become as sons of light. Now, we're not saying that we replace Christ. God forbid, that's not going to happen. But rather what this is indicating is that we are supposed to be reflecting the light of Christ in our lives. Just as we would think about mirrors mirrors, plural, in a room. You light a candle in the center of that room, you can see how the brightness would just pervade and spread throughout. Let's reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about how we are to shine as lights of the world, in the world. In Matthew 5, there in verse 14. Matthew 5:14. What's our purpose in being here? Why are we here? Great question. Matthew 5:14. Here was an answer. You are the light of the world. We're to help to be as guides to those that are in darkness. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. And the way in which they're going to bring glory to the Father in heaven is ultimately expressed there through their conversion. So what type of a lifestyle do we have? Is it consistent with the gospel message? Or is it at variance with that? Is it opposed to that? If it's not consistent with what we read right here, then we are walking in darkness and there is no truth in us. Let's make sure that we are abounding in good works, the works that our Heavenly Father would have us to be preoccupied with. For then and only then can others look upon that and say they want to be like that too. For honest hearts, that will be so. Yes, it will. Hopefully now we know the meaning of light. But I want to ask you this question and close out this way. What will you see? What will you see when the lights go out? Or maybe even I should put it like this, where will you be when the lights go out? We know about Jesse James, famous outlaw, burglar, thief. You know how he was killed? He was shot in the back of his head while trying to adjust a picture frame that was somewhat crooked. Wild Bill Hickok was at a poker game. He had the ace of spades. If you have that now, it's known as a dead man's hand because he was killed at that poker game. Lincoln at Ford's Theater, watching a play. Kennedy, over there in Dallas. There have been many who died who never, ever, ever saw that coming. It was completely unexpected. And let me tell you, the lights went out. Now that shall happen for us, should the Lord delay His coming. But even if the Lord were to return, are you ready for Him right now? Or will you be caught unprepared, off guard? We do not want to be as the one in Luke 16 who opened up his eyes in torment. He lifted up his eyes in torment after he had left this world. Rather, let us behold the glories of heaven ultimately. Become a child of God. Work the works of the Heavenly Father while it is called day, because the night comes in which no man can work. If we can be of service toward helping you in your life with God, please come down to the front while together we stand now and sing.